73. To Mademoiselle N.N. Petersburg. April the 2nd, 1880. Much honoured and gracious lady, forgive my having left your beautiful kind letter unanswered for so long. Do not regard it as negligence on my part. I wanted to say something very direct and cordial to you, but my life goes by, I vow, in such disorder and hurry that it is only at rare moments that I belong to myself at all. Even now, when at last I have a moment in which to write to you, I shall be able to impart but a tiny fragment of all that fills my heart and that I should like to touch upon with you. Your opinion of me is extraordinarily precious to me. Your lady mother has shown me the passage in your letter to her which relates to myself, and your words moved me profoundly, nay, even astonished me. For I know that as a writer I have many faults, and even I myself am never satisfied with myself. I must tell you that in those frequent and grievous moments wherein I seek to judge myself, I come to the painful conclusion that in my works I never have said so much as the 20th part of what I wish to say, and perhaps could actually have said. My only refuge is the constant hope that God will some day bestow upon me such inspiration and such power as are requisite to bring to full expression all that fills my heart and imagination. Recently there took place here the public debate by the young philosopher Vladimir Solovyov, a son of the renowned historian, of his thesis for doctor's degree, and I heard him make the following profound remark. I am firmly convinced that mankind knows much more than it has hitherto expressed either in science or art. Just so it is with me. I feel that much more is contained in me than I have as yet uttered in my writings. If I lay all false modesty aside, I must acknowledge that even in what I have written, there is much that came from the very depth of my heart. I swear to you that though I have received much recognition, possibly more than I deserve, still the critics, the literary newspaper critics, who certainly have often, no, rather very seldom, praised me, nevertheless have always spoken of me so lightly and superficially that I am obliged to assume that all those things which my heart brought forth with pain and tribulation, and which came directly from my soul, have simply passed unperceived. From this you can divine what a pleasant impression must have been made upon me by the delicate and searching comments on my work which I read in your letter to your lady mother. But I am only writing of myself, which, after all, in a letter to the discerning and sympathetic critic whom I perceive in you is natural enough. You write to me of the phase which your mind is just now undergoing. I know that you are an artist, a painter. Permit me to give you a piece of advice which truly comes from my heart. Stick to your art, and give yourself up to it even more than hitherto. I know, for I have heard, do not take this ill of me, that you are not happy. To live alone and continually to reopen the wounds in your heart by dwelling upon memories may well make your life too drear for endurance. There is but one cure, one refuge for that woe. Art. Creative activity. But do not put it upon yourself to write me your confession. That would assuredly tax you too far. Forgive me for offering you advice. I should very much like to see you and say a few words face to face. After the letter that you have written, I must necessarily regard you as one dear to me, as a being akin to my soul, as my heart's sister. How could I fail to feel with you? But now to what you have told me of your inward duality. That trait is indeed common to all, that is, all who are not wholly commonplace. Nay, it is common to human nature, though it does not evince itself so strongly in all as it does in you. It is precisely on this ground that I cannot but regard you as a twin soul, for your inward duality corresponds most exactly to my own. It causes at once great torment and great delight. Such duality simply means that you have a strong sense of yourself, much aptness for self-criticism, and an innate feeling for your moral duty to yourself and all mankind. If your intelligence were less developed, if you were more limited, you would be less sensitive, and would not possess that duality. Rather the reverse. In its stead would have appeared great arrogance. Yet such duality is a great torment. My dear, my revered Mademoiselle N.N., do you believe in Christ and his commandments? If you believe in him, or at least have a strong desire to do so, then give yourself wholly up to him. The pain of your duality will be thereby alleviated, and you will find the true way out, but belief is first of all in importance. Forgive the untidiness of my letter. If you only knew how I am losing the capacity to write letters, and what a difficulty I find it. But having gained such a friend as you, I don't wish to lose her in a hurry. Farewell. Your most devoted and heartfelt friend, F. Dostoevsky.